Welcome to the Serotalk Podcast.
Serotalk Podcast.
Welcome to the Serotalk Podcast, your portal to the accessible digital lifestyle.
www.serotalk.com.
A production of Serotech Corporation, creators of System Access, the System Access Mobile Network, and SA2Go. Learn about new technology, cool software, useful websites, education, information, entertainment, user comments, and much more. And now, here's your host, Michael Loft.
Welcome to Serotalk Podcast 14. This is Michael Loft.
I'm Ricky Inger.
And I'm Mike Calvo, I think.
Prizes this week.
I love those prizes.
With a lot of stuff to cover, I guess we better start with our AT news.
We could get like a little like news drop for that, you know, whatever.
Breaking AT news.
Yeah, we'll just make those weird noises and people can just send in their suggestions to suggestions or to the blab line. Just call us up and go, you know, and we'll use one.
Just have time on your hands and you're a musician, want to slap down some riffs. That's cool too.
Well, speaking of time on your hands, how about when you're out and about and you want to connect and hear your favorite podcasts or whatever, or download things? Michael, you found something very interesting here from Verizon.
Yeah, a lot of people are excited about this. And of course, I tell Mike, you're going to get one. And of course, other time he's already done it, been there, done that, or done one up. Verizon has come out with the MiFi. It's about the size of 3 credit cards thick.
Not 4, not 5, not 2, but 3.
3 costs $100 with a 2-year commitment, but for $40 a month, you get a whopping 250 megabyte transfer, or for $60 a month, you get a woohoo 5 gig, a Wi-Fi little gizmo, so basically you can share up to 5 computers and password protect it. That all sounds pretty cool, but there's a few things that if you know a little bit about mobile technology are a little disconcerting to me anyway.
You will not see me getting one of these. Going to get it.
Nope.
Not going to do it.
Nope. Like those Sesame Street people. No.
My hang up is the bandwidth caps.
You got hang ups, Michael. Let's talk about them.
That's my hang up too, is the bandwidth cap. $40 a month. This is almost comparable to an actual broadband subscription as you would have in your home. Now, 250 megs for this $40 a month. This is great if you're going to read a lot of text email and text web pages, but it's barely adequate.
If you listen to every podcast we have, that's about 250 meg a month.
Yeah, as I said, text
stuff. If I dumped my entire brain.
Just talking about one machine, if you start streaming, for example, our podcast, and you start doing some streaming radio, you're watching some descriptive movies, maybe with your one machine, you're going to run out of that 250 megs really quickly. And then you're going to start racking up those 10 cents a meg extra. Of course, they say, oh, we got the solution for you. Upgrade to the $60 a month plan and you get 5 gigs.
You know they're going to start pushing the fact that, oh, you can use this in home instead of actual Wi-Fi. I hate this new cap that they have all put up. And I'm going to give you guys a little secret. We are going to have a tech chat, a tech talk, tech talk, tech talk. And when is that going to be, Michael? It's going to be on May
21st, if you're available.
May 21st at 8 o'clock on the SAMnet, on the SA Mobile Network. And it's going to be hosted by myself, by Michael, and anyone else who decide to drag in on the panel. But we're going to talk about a few things, including a secret to how to get around these 5 gigabyte caps. This is a serious problem because, first of all, there's no way for you to tell how much you've used. If they say you used 10 gigs extra or 100 megs extra or 1 meg extra for that matter, you're going to take their word for it. You can't.
Yeah, how are you going to dispute that?
You can't check. And there's a couple of the carriers that have said, well, we'll just shut you off. Well, gee. You know, the whole idea behind being mobile is knowing that it works everywhere I am. This sucks, Verizon. This really sucks. Unless you're going to cut the cap.
But the other providers, other carriers have these caps as well, right? I know AT&T and T-Mobile.
They all copied Verizon. Verizon started that mess.
They said unlimited, but actually had the 5 gig cap, and they got in trouble
for
that.
Wow.
In our dictionary, unlimited means 5 gigs. What's wrong with you, stupid?
That's right.
The charges on international data. So if you go listen to, say, the BBC or some international streams or video.
No.
AT&T and T-Mobile. I don't know if the Verizon.
No, dude, you're kidding.
That.
You're kidding.
No.
Oh, no.
Ouch.
No. Oh, yeah. Now you're paying long distance for packets. Where is that stream originating from?
Does that go ping the server and make sure it's not in the Netherlands or whatever. This is not just happening in the mobile space either. Time Warner was testing this type of bandwidth cap and consumers.
Oh, no, but
really
they got served. And they backed off. They said, well, you know, it was just an idea.
And I'm hoping that the same thing will happen with the Wi-Fi carriers.
The broadband faux pas of the month, where they used to charge you per minute and all that stuff. They think that now they can charge you per gig or whatever.
It's absolutely a business model that is not going to work.
We will ban the internet.
I read an article last week that some people feel that we will reach data capacity by 2012.
Oh, come on. You know, this is the swine flu of the broadband marketplace, you know. Watch it. We're going to run out of broadband.
Yay.
We're going to shut down.
Stop talking. We've got to quit streaming here. We're taking up too much data. Isn't it the Mayan calendar which says the world ends in 2012? And so maybe, you know, the internet comes crashing down.
That's what Nostradamus was talking about, was the internet. In my bag is my personal hotspot, baby, if you know what I mean. Plug in your broadband card from any carrier. Thank you very much. It will then create a personal hotspot for you where you can have up to 16 computers using your broadband connection. And since I know the trick, I don't worry about that. We don't have any limits at these conferences. It's very easy to use. You just plug in your USB stick, get your credentials, log into it. And that's all we've been using for the last year and a half at conferences. So Verizon, this is not new. This is just your new locking people down to a proprietary solution that just basically ties them to this slavery and tyranny.
Larry Lewis over at Flying Blind put out the AVA BC640 tutorial. It's a PDF file and it explains awesome Braille display and Braille keyboard and audio in and out. And
we love it.
B and Bluetooth connectivity. And oh, it is so cool.
And it works with System Access.
80 cell now, long bat, because I figured they would go two rows of 40, but I guess they went 80 in one long row, so it's kind of a long thing.
I wonder if the power pack, you know, because I have the feature pack just kind of attaches to the top, so I wonder if they've made the feature pack longer. It's been out for a while. We're supporting it. We're actually working on supporting more aspects of it as we go. And we've got some other exciting Serotechian news about Braille coming up in the coming month or so. You could stay tuned here. You could stay tuned to Flying Blind, or you could stay tuned to this new radio station, The Global Voice.
Some are calling it the spinoff of ACB Radio because some of these folks were former ACB Radioites and kind of got upset. They had a little feuding over there, and it's a lot of the international aspect of that. The only U.S. person doing a show on it that I'm aware of is Steve Bauer, who's doing his jazz show. The quality's not too bad. I've listened to it a little bit. Production's not bad. Folks in the U.S. who have not listened to international radio will certainly get a different feel for radio. It's fairly well produced, and from what I've heard thus far, they've got a limited number of shows, so everything plays about four times throughout the week, including a new tech show that they've started from some former ACB main menu folks called Innovations, and that airs four times each week.
You know what's exciting to me about this, guys, is the fact that for years, Serotech has been beating the drums of consumer choice. Okay, I'm a member at large of the NFB. I'm also a strong supporter of the ACB. I love what both organizations have done at different times. I have had great angst with both at one time or another, and I don't agree with the philosophies of either one in its entirety. However, they are family. They have served a serious purpose, and they continue to serve a purpose for us as blind people. However, you, me, Michael, Ricky, anybody listening to this podcast, anybody who has access to the World Wide Web and an email account and a keyboard now has a voice. And that's important. Yes, you had a voice with a telephone, but never before have you ever been able to get together with a bunch of other blanks and raise some serious cane as you have been able to do as consumers for product and service providers. And that's really important because with these organizations that have local chapters that then have state groups that then go out to national, that then go out to their lobbyists, that then go to Congress, by the time you, Joe or Jane consumer's voice gets heard, it's been put through about 50 different people. I mean, it's like that game where you say one thing at the end of the group and then, you know, you whisper it in everybody's ear and you see at the end of the line after several people have heard what the actual thing that was said. That is what happens, I think, with a lot of local problems that blind folks come up with in their cities or whatever, or problems that are too small. It is a great thing to see a spinoff like this radio station where people have said, you know, ACB, what you did was wonderful. We don't agree with everything, so let's agree to disagree. Let's disband in this way, and we're going to go and create our own consumer voice as consumers, and hopefully other people will do the same, and then we have choices, and that's important to us. If there's one thing, we're discussing that in staff meeting this morning, is I think it's overwhelming for some blind folks because all of us grew up being told two things. A, I know what's best for you by people in authority, and B, you've got to be quote-unquote normal like everybody else. And what I've learned after my 41 years is A, I am totally abnormal, but so is everybody else in the world, and B, when I grow up, I want to be what I want to be, not what somebody told me I'm capable of. Because most of the time, people told me I wasn't capable. And most of the time, people told me that I needed to lower my aspirations and lower my goals. And I never had mentors and I never had anybody I could look up to. I mean, it's never nice to see any kind of a family squabble. But all families squabble. Remember, we're family. And ultimately, we're all passionate about the same thing. And that is a level playing field where blind people have just as much say as everybody else. So I applaud what these guys are doing, and I think it's going to be some awesome radio.
Exactly. So you have that. You have their innovations program. You have Main Menu. It's reformed with some of the former people. They're doing it now Friday evenings in the U.S. or Saturday 1 a.m. UTC.
ACB Radio cut Main Menu?
It was on hiatus for a while. Innovations, you have the Sarah Talk podcast, so finally you have some choice.
And all of those things are available as links in the entertainment guide on the SA Mobile Network, are they not?
Yes,
they is.
And in the show notes.
And the show notes. Always go to the website for the latest and greatest. Speaking of notes, the NFB, the May article, the Braille Monitor, has a interesting article on low-cost screen readers.
Low-cost or no-cost in some cases. And they talk about NVDA, they talk about Thunder, they talk about System Access, and they talk about Web Anywhere. They make it very clear that Web Anywhere is not a screen reader. Do not think that that is a screen reader. It is an alpha project that is under testing. Thumbs up to those guys at Washington State University, but it is not ready for prime time yet, but do continue to test it. The NVDA stuff is awesome, of course. Thunder, we don't hear much from those folks on this side. They're from the UK.
Pretty lame. Sorry. And I don't, not to say that because I'm compensated by Serotech, but I think most would agree with me. It's just something that kind of started and never really grew.
NVDA is a real screen reader that is really trying, and when it grows up, I think it's going to be one heck of a contender to be dealt with and looked at by everybody in the mainstream screen reader market. That being said, though, System Access did come out on top in this article, although I believe that one thing that was stated in the article was perhaps incorrect. I verified with Matt, because as you guys may or may not know, we contribute to the NVDA project. We've contributed some code to them, and we continue to do so where possible. We're very proud of what Mick and the crew have done at NVDA, and they are doing Braille support. Right now, we do Braille support for the Alba BC640, and there is more to come.
Because of you guys, actually, telling the manufacturers that you really do want to see HID support, people are listening, and you're going to see the fruits of that labor.
Thank you, NFB. We appreciate the support. If you're ever in the Baltimore area, you can go check out the Jernigan Institute Technology Center. It's their brand new part of the building that was built out there. And they have just about every piece of technology known to man in the field of blindness. It was an amazing trip for me when I went down there for the first time. I was quite overwhelmed with all the technology. I mean, stuff from way back into time.
Very cool. You could go get your hands on a VersaBraille.
From the largest of old-style technology to the tiniest of PDAs, and you've got people like Ann Taylor down there. She knows her stuff, as Michael would say.
Tech Centers and Tech Training, Vision's third annual Employment and Tech Institute for 2009. This is kind of interesting because it's to help people reassess their tech skills and make changes and new training to accommodate changes in technology and employment. Because anytime there's a recession, there's always a change of the types of jobs that come out of that. But that's going on from July 22nd through the 28th in Rockland County. And they say the cost is only $75, or they have a action-packed weekend event you can attend on the July 24th through 26th for just $50, including a bus ride from Manhattan. 5 acres of good times out there. It sounds like a pretty cool event, and there are different workshops and, you know, training going on. It sounds pretty cool. And you can even, for limited time until supplies run out, you can even take a spouse as long as he or she lives with you.
Oh, I thought you were saying until the supply of spouses run out.
You can take a spouse. Take my spouse, please.
Please. Google is teaming up with Lime to give away a scholarship. They are giving away a $10,000 U.S. scholarship and a $5,000 Canadian scholarship for university students who are going into degrees of computer science. Winners will get to go out to the Googleplex, which I think would be pretty cool. Have you ever been there, Mikey?
No, I've never been to the Googleplex. I'd love to go out to the Googleplex. I'm just trying to not laugh hysterically about our next thing we're covering here.
Oh, yeah, the contest. Speaking of contests, ATIA.
It's a video contest.
That's right. And for a blind popularity people. Contest. You win a prize. Well, basically, you create a video. That's right, blind folks. You create a video showing how adaptive technology has helped improve your life. And basically, the entity with the most views on YouTube actually will win a prize.
Be fair, though, ATIA covers all sorts of assistive technology, not just for blinks. But, you know, I think that we should definitely be allowed to submit something where the camera is pointing to the ceiling, but it has great audio.
Some of the most viewed videos are things like getting kicked in the crotch. So maybe if you pointed at your crotch, I don't know.
Well, you know, that's interesting because I've got a video link that I've got to share with you, Michael. It is somebody doing something called flute boxing, and it's like beatboxing, where somebody is making drum machine noises with their mouth. These two guys in the UK, one of them plays the flute and beatboxes at the same time, and the other guy comes up and does beatboxing and just does some of the most incredible sound effects you've ever heard. It's about 18 minutes long, and it's in the show notes. But this is just the most incredible audio you have ever heard of that type. And speaking of audio, I have it with me right here. I have it in my hot little hand. Yes, it's a blue Mikey. It's
hey, Mikey, blue. He likes it.
I like it a lot. Okay, Mikey, now it's time to say hello to the nice people.
Voice memos.
Voice memos. That's something you don't hear on your iPod Nano, and we'll be showing you just how to use it in just a moment.
Aw, Mikey, he's so cute. I can't wait to hear more of him.
And he records. How cool is that? I doubt most people know that Nano can record.
They're going to find out now. But first, you have more news.
I just have one final story. October 1st marks the 10-year anniversary of the first talking ATM. And you can share your experiences with Lainey Feingold and Linda Dardarian.
I always used to joke about the Americans with Disability Act brought us Braille on drive-up ATMs.
But the talking ATM idea is really pretty cool, assuming that you carry, you know, earbuds or headphones or whatever with you, as actually most blind people do.
Interviewed Lainey back in 99, so I have to give her a call and see if we can talk about that and find out where we are.
The 10-year anniversary reunion.
Will they play the really touching violins in the background as they say, and coming up next, a touching ATM story.
I remember back in the day when we used to have to go to the bank to get money. Now,
between 9 and 3, no less. In the snow.
Both ways uphill. The thing that drives me crazy about ATMs, of course, is how they sold us a bill of goods, how saying it was going to be so much cheaper to use ATMs and this and that, and it was going to cut down on the cost of banking. Yeah, right. And
now you get charged like $4 for every transaction or whatever if it's not from your particular bank branch.
Yeah, well, I use PayPal and my PayPal debit card and forget it.
Out. So there.
So that's our headlines this week in AT news, other than the news we make ourselves. And that's what Mikey with his Mikey.
Look, it talks. Okay, so what I've got here is I've got the Mikey in my hand, and it's connected to the bottom of my iPod Nano. And you heard it just say voice memos. And when I press the center button,
voice memos, recordings.
It says recordings. Okay, well, right now I don't have any recordings in there because the recordings that I had in there got dumped into my iTunes library. Once I record memos into my iPod, they get dumped into iTunes. The iPod gets cleared and ready for more voice memos. If I swipe my finger around the dial,
start recording.
It tells me start recording. So if I swipe my finger to the right,
recordings.
There's only two selections in this menu.
Recordings. recordings.
And if I keep swiping my finger, it keeps saying, you see. So I'm going to swipe my finger to the left.
Start recording.
And I'm going to press. Hey, I heard the doggy shaking. Hi.
Yes, he's making his second debut. I think it's probably an oxymoron.
So I'm going to press the center button.
Voice
and now you saw how it said voice. What it's telling me is that it's doing voice recording and it turned off the voice recorder. So now I'm recording. I'm talking into the Mikey. It's probably popping because it's set on a very sensitive level. So I'm going to pause it now. And the way I did that was just by hitting the down arrow or the play area. Can you guys hear that?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
What that is my finger sliding across it. There's one click, two clicks, three clicks. So that means there's three things up on this menu. Okay. And right now, the reason there's no sound coming out of the Mikey speaker, I forgot to mention before that the Mikey has a little speaker in it, is because, of course, the speaker is turned off because it's still sitting here in pause mode waiting for me to do something with it. So the first setting is play pause. If I click again there, now it's on delete. Okay, and I can delete the recording. Or if I do it one more time to the right, then it's stop and save. Okay, it's not recording right now. It's on pause, remember? So if I wanted to continue recording, I would swipe my finger all the way to the left, counterclockwise, and then hit the center. I hit the bottom and start recording again. Or I would just go swipe my finger to the right, hit the center button.
Stop and save.
Stop and Save. Isn't that the name of a convenience store?
So what it did was it says stop and save, and then it takes a minute to save. It's important to know that when you start recording with the Mikey, it takes a second for your iPod to kind of kick in and start recording. So you don't want to like hit the thing and start immediately talking. You want to count a couple seconds. It is a stereo mic, and you'll hear all about that with the interview coming up. But if I tap now I've got
start recording.
Recording. So I'm going to go in here to the recordings.
Recordings.
And I'm in the recordings area. And what it does is it puts me on the first recording. If I go to the left all the way, swipe my finger.
Delete all.
I can delete all. No, we don't want to do that. So I'm going to go to the first recording. If I were to have multiple recordings here, it would click through them. Unfortunately, it doesn't name them. Okay, but it's still very cool. I'm going to play.
Delete.
It brings me, when I hit the center button on the recording, it brings me up to wherever I was last in this menu.
Label.
I can either delete, label,
play.
So I'm going to play.
Play. You saw how it said voice. What it's telling me is that it's doing voice recording, and it turned off the voice recorder. So now I'm recording. I'm talking into the Mikey. It's probably popping because it's set on a very sensitive level.
And I stopped it, but it's not popping. So now I paused it. By hitting the bottom arrow on the iPod, I'm going to hit the up arrow, the menu part.
Play.
Now I'm on play.
Label.
Label doesn't do anything. I mean, at least accessibly.
Delete.
I'm going to delete.
Delete recording. Do you want to delete this recording? Cancel.
Okay, and it puts me automatically on the cancel button. I can
delete.
Swipe my finger to the left.
Delete. Voice memos. Recordings.
And it brings me back to the recordings. And we can tell that, of course,
start recording. Recordings. Recordings.
It's empty because when I hit recordings, if I
recordings.
Hit here, that's it. There's nothing there. I'm swiping my finger around the dial, and there is nothing there. You're going to hear an interview that we did with the folks from Blue, and it was really an amazing time to share with these folks, and we really got some great insight into it. I would strongly suggest that if you have an iPod Nano, that you go out and spend the $79, support these people. In my opinion, it is just an incredible product compared to like the DS50, the DS60. It runs circles around these products in recording quality. But hey, don't take my word for it. Listen to the interview. Listen to the recording samples that I've posted up. We do not get paid any kind of financial endorsement. This is just cool stuff that we as geeks find to play with. This is just something that I think is really incredible. Do support the people at Blue. They're important to us as blind folks because, of course, they work with audio. If you're going to do your ATIA video, consider using the Blue Eyeball. It is a very cool video camera, which we reviewed last podcast. And we've got more tech stuff coming up soon. Next time, I will be demonstrating the DV2 from HP with another surprise goodie for those of you who like really good audio on the go. So there's your teaser. for the next time.
All right, let's go meet Mr. Barth from Blue. I'm honored to be speaking today with Tyler Barth from a company called Blue, and their website, Blue Mic, BlueMIC.com. Mike Calvo, as we discussed on the last podcast, is very excited about what you guys have rolled out called the Blue Mikey.
I like the Mikey. I think you guys named it after me.
Or me.
The Blue Mikeys.
But what this mic does is allow people to make podcasts and make recordings on their iPod. Tyler, I want to welcome you and thank you for taking a few minutes out of your busy schedule. Talk about how that's going for you and you know, which iPods this device works with.
We just released Mikey into the marketplace just over the past couple weeks.
Unleashed it.
Actually, yeah, we unleashed the beast after the long-awaited Mikey. We made an announcement last year that we were releasing it, and over the last couple months, we had a lot of anxious customers out there wondering when it was going to finally come out, and sure enough, we hit the marketplace 2 weeks ago, and you guys were one of our early adopters, buying it literally, I think, probably as it came out.
Dude, I had that thing on order for like a month. It was all over the different technology podcasts, and I really was very interested in how it would work for a blind person on an Apple. People have blogged about it. They're talking about it on the forums and in the chat rooms, and it is awesome. And you're on a Blue Mic now, aren't you?
I am. I'm using our Snowball, and the Snowball was the very first USB mic that hit the marketplace 4 years ago. So Apple approached us having bought a software company called eMagic, which had a program called Logic, which later became GarageBand. They said, hey, Blue, we love the design of your mic. Can you design us a really cool-looking USB mic that goes hand-in-hand with our new program called GarageBand? You know, that actually spurred five CE products, which, you know, with the success of the Snowball, which was released, as I mentioned, almost 3.5-4 years ago, we've been able to release several products in that same family, which are all USB. The design is great. Hopefully, I'm sounding okay. I want to be able to tell you I'm getting great sound as well. The price point on the Snowball, which is one of our top podcasting mics, it's actually the top-selling wired condenser mic on the market. It is $99 and available in any MI retailer to the Apple store, you know, across the board, but $99 is our retail price. With the success of the Snowball, we launched a more portable version of the Snowball, naming it the Snowflake. And so the Snowflake also is a USB microphone that's great for business travelers that allows you to plug in to your computer. There's no drivers, Mac or PC, and it's just great for on the go. You know, if you use iChat or, you know, as we're on Skype right now, this is probably one of your best mics for that. I know nothing's worse than sounding like this with your hand up to your mouth.
Tell me about it.
So, and then, you know, with the success of that, we had a lot of our very Blue savvy fans say, well, how about a webcam? You know, I love to be able to see my family when I'm on the road. And so it was about 3 or 4 months ago, we released what's now called Eyeball. Eyeball is also plug and play, PC or Mac, like all these products, very easy to use. And we're really excited about it. We actually have a 2.0 version coming out in the upcoming months, which will have, you know, even finer video. We also, as you're using, Mike, I think you mentioned you're using our Icicle product.
Yes, I love it. It converts an XLR mic to USB. Great. I can now use this quality mic on my netbook or, you know, a laptop, and allows me to sound like I'm at home when I'm traveling. Give me that broadcast quality. So it's a great tool. $59. You can't beat it.
Blue is known for being one of the top microphone brands in professional recording. I personally handle a lot of the artist relations, and I can tell you firsthand that the biggest artists out there actually own the Icicle and have used it, because if I'm Lil Wayne on the road, I mean, Lil Wayne in particular has his own setup in his tour bus, but you know, a lot of these artists that go on the road don't want to have to lug around a huge M-Box and a huge setup, so they bring whatever XLR mic or studio mic they want to record with. They're able to connect that XLR to USB through the Icicle, and you know, with gain control on there, you're able to get that really professional studio sound. So Mikey has the same two capsules, or very, very similar capsules to that of the Snowball, which is what I'm using right now, and it records in CD quality audio, so you get an M4A file, which is as close to a WAV file as you can. The Mikey is a recorder for your iPod. And it actually works with your iPod Touch, the iPhone, the iPod 5G, the iPod Classic, the Nanos 2G through 4G. So pretty much it works with anything out there. What's important to know is if you're using it with your iPhone, you do need a recording application. And there's about 40 or 50 on the market right now. So if you want to use your iPhone, until the next generation iPhone comes out, which they will already have a recording application in, we recommend, you know, going out and spending 99 cents on 4-track, which allows you then to record with the Mikey. We're going to give you CD quality audio by plugging this Mikey device into your iPod. It records in stereo. The unique compact design allows you to record in three different gain settings. So if I'm at a rock show, I was actually at the Viper Room last month. A friend of mine, Miko, was playing. She just got signed to, I think, MySpace Records. She was doing a little show for around 300 people. I actually brought my Mikey out and recorded the show. And even with a packed house, 300 people, with a lot of sound around me, even though I was in the back and I was in setting 3, which is our live music recording setting, I was able to actually capture an incredible sound. And I played it back to Miko, and she couldn't believe that I caught it from this $79 device. There's 3 gain settings. In the second setting, like what I'm doing right now, I'm actually recording our podcast right now to my iPod in setting number 2. That, it allows you to capture interviews, it allows you to capture anything kind of up close within 5 to 10 feet. You know, you can always experiment with these 3 settings. So even though I may tell you, hey, this is great for interviews up close, You may fall in love with setting number 1 that's actually meant for our lectures. So if you're a student and you're in a classroom, we actually recommend setting number 1. And these settings are the sensitivity of the actual capsules. So we've preset them so that they're easy to use. We don't want to give you a bunch of knobs and gain control this and that. If I'm looking at it right now, position number 1 is to the very right. If it's all the way in the right, I'm expecting to pick up audio from, you know, 30 to 40 feet away. Perfect for lecture mode.
And then in the middle is kind of one-on-one podcasting mode. And then number 3, all the way to the left over here, what would you call that?
I would call it the live music setting, but if you're trying to record anything really, really, really loud, you know, I was in China about 8 months ago and I had my very first pre-production model and I was running around, you know, the city just capturing all kinds of sounds and testing in between mode 2 and 3. I recognized that China, Shanghai in particular, was a very loud city and you could actually just record all kinds of sounds from there in mode 3. So, you know, you get very comfortable with the different recording settings.
As blind folks, we don't have a lot of different choices on the market for recording, and we record with products that were developed for the sighted. We understand that there's very little awareness, you know, in the consumer electronics industry of the blind and what our needs are as consumers. So we try and make best with what we have. But now this product, because Apple and other awesome companies in this industry, in the blindness industry, work together, they have developed an ecosystem through their 4th generation iPod Nano that talks, that will allow me as a blind person to actually use your product out of the box the way you intended it for a sighted person to use. But because the iPod Nano talks, the Mikey has a little speaker that you can actually monitor, you know, you can listen back to your recordings. You can also go through the menus. And as you go through the menus, you'll hear all of the different types of settings that are available to you if you want to play or delete or save. And all these things will talk. And the cool thing is that Blue didn't have to do a thing. And it's because Apple, you know, took the initiative and made this product so flexible and so accessible. Those other companies that are taking part in that ecosystem that Apple has created with its iPod products can actually create products that we as blind folks can use. And we've demonstrated on the podcast in the past how we use the iPod with iPod docks and using the remote control and all that stuff to navigate the iPod. If you visit us at any of the summer shows this year or any of the ATIA or CSUN, we'll have these consumer electronics available so people can touch them and see what they look like. It really is an amazing thing to see and something to be celebrated, because as you'll hear, in my recording samples during this podcast, this is a really, really high quality product. Just doing your part, working with other manufacturers, doing their part to provide universal design in their electronics, have actually made what I would consider to be the most accessible portable recorder with the highest quality on the market, especially for the price, ever in the history of consumer electronics. When you look at the price point of an iPod, which is what, like $150? And then this thing for $79, which it retails for $99. And I was going to say, a lot of their stuff retails for $99, and you can go to buy.com or thenerds.net or various places online. If you can wait a couple of days for UPS to come, you're going to get this for $79, for, you know, at least $20 off of most of this stuff. And it is not refurbished or anything. It's brand new in its box. Kudos to you guys over at Blue. You do provide a PDF version of the documentation, which was extremely important when I get my new toy and I see a brand spanking new manual in there that I can't read. Sure, I have technology here to read it, but it's great to be able to go to the website and just click on the manual and be able to read it right on my computer. So thank you for that. What do you pay, Michael, for your Zoom that you use?
I paid $199, so I'm thinking about seriously replacing it now with the Nano and the Mikey, because one of the problems I have in recording those expos are so many people, and I end up getting other conversations. Use very directional, and set it down to 2 or 3 to reduce the surrounding effects. That's going to be awesome.
When you're in a situation like that, it uses the noise like that as ambiance. It pulls it back somehow, but it does still focus in on your subject. Wherever you point this little circle,
blue right on the front.
So it says blue, and then it's a raised plastic, their logo. Wherever you point the little blue at, that's the center of the conversation. I can't get over the amount of bottom that is available in a capsule this size.
Some of these names, you got the woodpecker, the blueberry, dragonfly.
We're really well known for our studio mics. We actually have a $10,000 microphone system called the Bottle. Our company started 15 years ago by a Latvian engineer and an American singer-songwriter musician who's actually produced and been a part of over 100 albums in his career, Skipper Wise. And, you know, these two, who at one point were repairing vintage microphones, later began to say, we know the sound we want. We understand the technology involved. We should start our own company. And sure enough, in the mid-90s, Blue was born. When we saw the digital revolution coming, this was our opportunity to really improve on microphone technology. And so we started making application-specific microphones for digital recording. So we actually have an entire series with the relaunch of the new website. Will be June 1st. Start to see us kind of differentiate each microphone for a specific application. So when you say, oh, well, this is great, you've got the woodpecker. Well, the woodpecker is probably one of our most versatile. And, you know, the best part is it's a live ribbon. These microphones are kind of the edge of what people really want to be recording with. We actually have our own studio out here in Westlake Village, which is about 25 miles north of Los Angeles, just inland from Malibu. And what we do here is we invite artists that are about to go into the studio to come out here and identify which mics they should be using in the recording process. 20 years ago, you got a record deal. The label said, hey, you know, we like these three producers for you. Let's have a meeting. The producer said, let's get you in my studio. And it was never your choice to figure out which mic. Every producer 20 years ago had their mic cabinet with 3-4 mics they used, and that was it. Now, if you know what's happened in the music business since then, especially in the last 5 to 10 years, there aren't a lot of producers out there buying new mics. They kind of keep the old school stuff that they've had in their cabinet because they're the go-to mics. What we've developed is a line of mics that are specific to applications, the sounds that we love from, you know, we'll say the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and we'd be able to kind of make them a lot more current with the technology that we've used and learned to build. Again, we invite the artists to come out here and find out which mic is best for their vocals, which is best for their guitar, their drums. And I can say firsthand that I run that program over here. And we have 5 to 10 artists coming in every week. We've had artists like Kevin Rudolph, who was here last time he was in town, and Janelle Monáe. A lot of these are the up-and-coming artists that have had big hits on the radio. Rusty Anderson, lead guitarist for Paul McCartney. We had Don Felder in here 2 weeks ago doing a mic shootout from the Eagles. The list goes on. We're very artist-friendly, and we're very lucky we're located just outside LA, which is one of the meccas of music creation.
I'm actually one of those old producers from 20 years ago. I actually did a lot of work with Warner Brother, Elektra Atlantic, and Sony, and a lot in the Spanish market in Miami. I grew up in Miami and used to go out to LA a lot and work out in different studios. And you're right, I was one of those guys that had my Neumann U87, I had my AKG 414 and Neumann TLM 193. And my favorite mic, probably of all time back then, believe it or not, was an Audio-Technica AT4050, which was like a $450 mic that just sounded awesome. One of the best all-around mics that I've ever heard. And right now, I'm using a G-Track, which is a Samsung mic, which I'd have never touched one of those mics in the studio yet. The Blue stuff is a standard. I first heard of Blue through Adam Curry. To get voices the right way, you would have to learn all of these mixtures. For example, in an Electro Voice, an EVM mic, and record you real tight in, but use Focusrite D to A's and then a tube compressor limiter. Get this exact kind of sound on your voice so you could sound like Mariah Carey, or get that beautiful, breathy sound that we would get out of a Whitney Houston. You and other manufacturers, it's amazing that have been able to bring this stuff into very small packages, an economical price where people with project studios can do this stuff.
We would encourage you to come out to Blue next time you're in the LA area. Bring your favorite mics. We'll just do a little mic shootout and I can show you. We've taken the sound that we really want. We've actually been able to translate that to the studio. And that's literally sitting down and figuring out exactly what technology is going to best translate that to our capsules. We actually also not only have our studio out here, but we hand assemble most of these mics just here in our warehouse. So I encourage you to come on out, visit us over here at Blue, give you a little tour, and we'll get a little jam session going. And, you know, we have so many local artists that are like, tell us when to come out. We actually just did a video with LP33.TV. They came in and did kind of a biopic on us that we'll be putting on our website in the next month. The story of Blue. We had a couple artists come in that are, artists that we do endorsements with. Artist by the name of Chris Pierce, who has got a really bluesy sound. And, you know, let's talk about application-specific mics. You know, his favorite mics are the Kiwi and the Woodpecker. And, you know, for him, he's got that kind of B.B. King bluesy sound. The Kiwi that just really picks up his vocals. He uses the Woodpecker on his guitar. And he's just an incredible artist. I mean, this guy's really doing really well in the West Coast, and I know that he's going to do a national tour next year. And then we have a group called the Daylights, who has got that kind of Coldplay-ish sound, but I want to say it's like Coldplay 2009, and they've really done well. They just recorded their album with Youth, and they used our bottle.
I have a bad problem with popping the peas and hitting the table with my elbow, so let's talk about some shock mounts, pop filters, stands, any accessories that you offer to enhance those mics.
Sure. We just started offering them through our store. Go to bluemic.com and go to our Blue store. All of our CE products are available along with the accessories. So yeah, we do offer a pretty cool looking pop filter. The design of the pop filter is going to give you the optimal sound so you're not popping your peas. And we also think the aesthetic is really important when designing products as well. We have all kinds of accessories. One of our top-selling accessories is called the Ringer. It acts as a shock mount, which suspends the snowball symmetrically in a circle. So a lot of the podcasters have gone after that.
Do you attribute the internet to the success that you guys have experienced versus other forms of marketing?
The internet can be your best friend. It can be your worst nightmare, but Blue, it's been very good to us. And that's because you have a lot of people voicing their opinion about, you know, how they feel about your products. So whether it's in pro audio or consumer, you know, we always tell a lot of people thinking about, you know, going to buy a Blue microphone, go into any blog or chat where people are discussing our equipment or microphones and see what they're saying. I mean, those are the consumers out there that are willing to talk about it. There's a ton of forums. For the most part, we like to replace the products. We are very, very good about making sure everything that leaves Blue sounds as we want it to.
Do you get places like Mix Magazine or the audiophile magazines reviewing your stuff, or is it mostly consumer?
Because Blue has won so many awards in pro audio, these guys can't really refuse the review of these products. So, I mean, we've gotten reviews across the board, of course, with your EQ and electronic musician and mix. Mm-hmm. Those specific trades, I mean, we've been reviewed in Wired Magazine. All of a sudden, there's this new movement of, you know, mass market consumer products that we've decided to embark upon. And they've been openly embraced by, you know, every major magazine out there. Rolling Stone Magazine to, like, your very niche acoustic guitar. It's really interesting. We actually have a partnership with Spin Magazine. If you are an artist going through Soho and you're doing a live performance from the Spin offices, you'll actually record with some of our microphones. We're the exclusive microphone of the Spin. They've given us some great write-ups there, and we're obviously all over their website because all their video content that they're creating.
You guys are actually looking at developing your own camera technologies? Are you partnering with third parties? How is the camera play into this whole thing?
An idea from the consumers that are fans of Blue. I don't think that we had ever really thought about getting into video because we know audio. We don't want to go out there and say we're going to jump into all these different segments of the market. We want to be an audio company. And, you know, the video, we teamed up with some great engineers that knew how to get great audio. And we were able to bring Eyeball, which is our webcam, to the market. I think it's safe to say we'll improve, obviously, and continue to release the webcam. But I don't know if we're going to go any further than that. I think we like to stick with what we know. You know, it's about giving the best sound to the professional or the consumer.
Do you have some resellers throughout the U.S. and other parts of the world where people can walk into a music store? Like, I bought my Icicle from Sweetwater in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
For the consumer brands, we'll start there. So if you're going to go out and buy a Mikey right now, there's probably a Fry's Electronics somewhere near you. That's one of our retailers. There's Guitar Center. If you want to buy it online, you can go to buy.com. You can go to Amazon. You can always get them through the Blue website. Find them in the Apple Store in July. They're going to be there as Apple is rolling out their new iPhone. So expect to see them in the Apple Store in July. As far as all our other products, they're all at those retailers as well. Apple currently carries, obviously, Eyeball, which is the webcam. They've got the Icicle, the Snowflake, and the Snowball, which are our USB mics. Pro mics are going to be in any MI retailer, Sam Ash to Sweetwater to Guitar Center, across the board, even a lot of the smaller guys.
What kind of warranties or guarantees do you have on your consumer products?
You're not happy with the product, go ahead and bring it back to the store that you bought it in. And, you know, I know that they're willing to give you a refund on that, depending upon the store. You know, obviously, I think you get a month in a lot of places. You know, you can always call us. We have an in-house customer support line. We take a lot of the RMAs here. So if you go out and buy one of our couple $1,000 mics in the pro audio space, send it back to Blue. We'll get it back out to you within the next week or two.
Yeah, so excellent customer service, by the way. Very responsive. You don't get put on hold forever and a day, and very knowledgeable people that answer the phone.
Yeah, we have an entire team that is there to answer calls from anyone that has a question as to why the Eyeball doesn't need to go through an M-Box, how it can go directly into your computer. We actually have entertained all kinds of calls. People can't believe how easy it is to use our products. We definitely encourage everyone to call us. There's no such thing as a stupid question. Even in the consumer end, we can entertain any kind of question.
I would encourage blind folks that are using your products with recording technologies and recording software. If you're blind and you're out there using these guys' products, I found their technical support department to be intrigued by the fact that I was a blind consumer. I was using the Mikey and how I was using it with the talking iPod. Don't assume that they're going to know every aspect. Education from us as consumers, patient education, is of the utmost importance because they know their product like any product. When you put it out in the wild, man, I mean, it could be used for anything. Nothing proves itself more than the Mikey. I mean, I can see the Mikey being used by folks to record everything from college lectures to a live show. It does do a great service, and we're very, very happy to be using it. And so congratulations on that product, man. I mean, it's awesome.
Thanks. Mikey in particular, I've been able to, you know, run around the world with the pre-production models, and I've captured over 300 hours of audio, and I've kind of become this audio junkie. I literally bring this with me everywhere. I was at actually a Los Angeles Lakers game for basketball just a couple weeks ago, and Kobe Bryant became the 18th greatest scorer of all time on the list. Ironically, I was recording sound and I got this awesome sound of the Lakers announcer saying, "Everyone, you know, we'd like to announce Kobe Bryant, now the 18th greatest scorer of all time." And you hear the crowd get behind this, and I actually caught the audio for it, and I've played it back to a lot of my friends, and they're like, "This is the coolest thing ever, because guys, you can't take a digital photo of this." I'm actually going to be running the Blue blog, and I think I'm going to start putting up a lot of this audio from the last 6 months of me running around the world with this device, this thing that everyone looks at me and says, "You're kidding me, that's recording into your iPod? How?" I don't understand. And I'm like, "Trust me, listen, I'll send you, you know, part of the show." I don't advocate, by the way, going out and recording live music, but I will say that from my own iTunes collection, I've been able to capture quite a bit. I was at Hotel Cafe, which is the premier singer-songwriter forum for a lot of aspiring young artists. They were graced by the presence of John Mayer a couple nights ago.
Oh, wow.
And I will say, I just happen to have my Mikey capture some of his newer stuff. Now, I promised his manager I wouldn't play it.
How do you manipulate the stuff in the PC world, not in the Mac world so much?
When I go to upload the file from the iPod, when I plug it in, it goes right to my iTunes account and says, "Would you like to upload voice memos?" And then I load it up and then I label it. And then when I pull it out, I can open up any recording program. I've been using Audacity. A couple of my friends who are savvy open it up in Pro Tools. You know, whatever recording program out there that you're familiar with or that you want to be familiar with, Audacity is free. So if you have a PC, Audacity works on a Mac as well, but if you have a PC out there, it's as simple as literally opening up the WAV file. There's 5 angle adjustments. If you want to put it in your top pocket during an interview and you don't want to have to hold it, simple as literally just kind of keeping it vertical. If you're a student in a classroom and you want to put it on top of your desk, you can adjust it to where it's basically facing out. Because there's 5, obviously, you're going to be able to kind of have whatever environment you want to record in. There's an angle adjustment for it.
Well, we really appreciate you coming on, Ty. And before you go, if you could give us your contact information, website, and phone number, that would be great.
www.bluemic.com, and that's BLUEMIC.com. Call us at 818-879-5200 and keep a lookout for future products.
Thanks for joining us.
I really appreciate being on the show. It's Tyler Barth, Director of Marketing from Blue Microphones, signing off.
Okay, let's go to the blab line. We got some interesting calls, like...
Hi, this is Sean Barrett. I wish you would consider adding to each podcast a little section on System Access or System Access Mobile Network tips. There are just many things that I don't know about how to get the maximum out of my network membership and my System Access software, and I would like to see you just add a column saying tips.
Well, we're going to do just that. We are adding a new feature called SA to Know. So every podcast, we will give you some new bit of information about either a tip for the System Access screen reader or for cruising and perusing the SAMnet, the mobile network, to get the most out of your services. And the next call.
I signed up for Facebook. I would be interested to know the System Access way of being able to hide particular friends that maybe post often that you'd rather see maybe less of them and more of other people. The other question is, I've also tried to sign up for a Twitter account. They use an audio CAPTCHA, but what the directions say and what's really happening are not the same. The
I hate it when that happens.
Directions for the visual CAPTCHA say type the 2 words above, and when you go to the audio CAPTCHA, it says to type what you hear, and what you actually hear sounds more like 2 sentences. If you type all of the words you hear, that still doesn't work, which leaves you wondering whether you should be trying to guess which 2 words. Then when you read the help for the CAPTCHA, it says that visually impaired people are being given a recording of digits.
Digits.
Those darn visually impaired people.
I know. They make life rough for everyone.
Digits, words, sentences. What is it, Twitter?
Stay consistent.
That's anyway, right. But Mike, you know, you are the master of guessing which words should
I
be done.
I love the audio CAPTCHAs, man. It's just reminiscent of walking through the streets of Miami trying to guess what the heck these people who don't speak English are saying.
Do you feel like you're doing an audio puzzle or something like that? It's a challenge.
Facebook has changed their way of doing things so much that we are absolutely lost. So we need you, Sero Talkers, to please let us know how to hide those annoying friends that seem to just bother the living daylights out of us by telling them, I'm having a sandwich.
My sandwich was good.
I know there was a link. I assume it's still there.
I'm just not sure. Tomato on my sandwich and they did it for me. Excuse me, I'm Twittering and Facebooking. You're rudely interrupting me, talking about my exciting sandwich. I like rye bread.
It had mayo.
And rye bread. It really is like that too, man. And people
with some people, it definitely is. Although I have to say, I'm Twittering a lot more very interesting news and super boring stuff that's only exciting to me.
The thing that trips me out is when people, like, you know, they go through and they haven't done anything on Facebook for a while. Because Twitter's not that bad with this because there's a timeline. But Facebook will, like, send you arbitrary messages to your email. So-and-so commented on your post. And that post could have been from, I don't know,
six months ago.
I had one guy, I post all kinds of stuff that makes you go, in my Facebook. And yes, go ahead and add me if you'd like, people. I'm one of those people who needs constant recognition and support. So please add me to your Facebook so I feel like I'm significant. Not true. We were talking about that earlier, about people that need that constant reassurance of, yes, I'm somebody now. You know, if they don't have as many friends as I do or you do or somebody else does, that they're not important.
That happens on Twitter a lot.
This guy said,
so I should quit obsessing that I just broke 100?
No, you should. No,
you broke 100. I only have 57.
I can't
tell
any of you guys how many I have because then you'll all hate me.
I want to go for 1,000. I realize the first thing to do is just tell people to add you. I mean, it's so basic.
I'm trying to compete with CNN because I want 1 million.
Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah. You know, I can't possibly imagine what is so interesting about that guy's life. This guy writes, you think? That's all I got in my email. You think? Facebook doesn't put you back in the middle of the conversation. They put you back on your page. Go back and read through all your posts. Don't know where that is. And as far as the audio CAPTCHA, Michael, isn't there a way to validate through your cell phone for Twitter as well?
There certainly is for Facebook.
Yeah, I love it for Facebook. I don't know for Twitter. I will investigate that. And I know there's a link in Facebook, at least the old interface, where you could go and take up to 20 people and not see posts from them and make your page less cluttered as a result. I'm not sure what the new interface where that might be. So please send us an email, resources@serotalk.com, or call the Blab line at 866-997-BLAB and share that useful bit of information. Or even better yet, join us this Thursday, May 14th, as we will be talking about the ABCs of social networking. Before, we talked about why you should do it, but this week we'll get into some of the nitty-gritty, showing you some cool websites to expand Twitter, like TwizUp and Twello.com, and the new Jamal Masary's new McTwit. Very cool.
I like
Jib program. Jib, yeah, for the phone, for the Symbian phone, and of course, OutTwit, that some folks think is the end-all, be-all, and certainly if you use Outlook, it's a great tool.
Twitteroo.
You know, Twitteroo is...
Twitteroo is pretty lame. It's in the can.
On top one day and down the next. Twitteroo is Twitter out.
For Mac users, of course, there's one called Twitterific, which is a nice little app as well. Well, I can't imagine what else we could do other than talking about the contest.
The contest? Well, I'm going to get out of here. Right. You guys talk about the contest.
All right.
And I will see you on the 21st for the Tech Talk on staying connected while you're on the go.
Clear up that myth. We had two people that said there's no difference between 3G and GPRS. And I'm sorry, when I see my son driving around town listening to Pandora in his truck, I'm going, I disagree.
There's a difference.
There's a big difference.
We do have something interesting to talk about for all you audiophiles.
Not one, but two prizes to give away from the good folks at Blue. One of which I am using, and you will need a special microphone, one that has an XLR connector. It's called the iSickle. As you heard Tyler talk about, it is an adapter for your XLR mic to make it work in a USB, and it works very well, and it's a great way to take your quality mic and plug it into your netbook, notebook, or even just your PC or Mac. We're going to give that away, and what we are asking, assuming that you already have an XLR mic, that you can give us some kind of, what do you want to call it, a Serotech anthem? Give us a little song
some
or
kind
a
of
spoken
a
poem.
Jingle, a rap, an aria, limerick. Anything you want. Sort of your Serotech love song.
That's right. And the other goodie we're giving away is the Snowflake, which is kind of the miniature snowball. So it's a very nice microphone. And for that one, we're going to make it a little easier for you. You can either send us a voicemail or email just telling us why you need a microphone. So maybe you don't have one. Maybe yours sounds like crapola, as we'll hear when you send it to us. Maybe you have one of those god-awful Bluetooth headsets that just drive me nuts.
Send us your most creative or most heartfelt essay or voicemail about why you, above all others, deserve a new microphone.
That's right. We'll get you hooked up from the good folks at Blue.
You've been listening to Cerro Talk. Visit us at www.cerrotalk.com. Send us an email at resources@cerrotalk.com or leave us a voicemail at 866-997-BLAB-2522. We may read your email or play your voicemail in the next podcast. Join us in 2 weeks as we explore all the internet and life has to offer. Until then, may you have an accessible digital life.